Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Hope you're having a great day. 68 degrees outside. Going to be warm today. Not too bad, though. High of 87. And now we have on the phone with us this morning is Representative Doug Blex. And, sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm just doing great, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on today, sir. I know a few things we talked off the air, a few things that you did want to talk about. And one of the first things that we brought up was the August revenue.
Yes, actually, it's a lot better than what we kind of expected. The Revenue Estimating Council is pretty good on getting estimates out and have been fairly accurate, but actually August revenue is about $50.5 million above the estimates for the month. And, of course, that's you compare it to last year, it's about $55.7 million above last August. And, of course, part of that, we still have a little bit of concern because although individual income tax receipts were like $271 million in August of 2020. This was probably boosted by that deadline extension of the 2019 sales tax. So budget people still are a little bit uneasy about final numbers as to what's really going on. Certainly that self-employed people that had the tax deadline delay. We kind of think that's a good thing, but in reality, those of us that pay estimated tax four times a year for a lot of people, actually delaying the tax deadline to July the 15th, in my case, resulted in writing three checks on July the 15th. I had to write an estimated tax to the federal and state government for April, which was normally due in our normal April deadline, tax deadline, and then turn around and write basically another check for the amount that would have covered July, and then, of course, any taxes due, another check. So sometimes delays, while they can help out, it doesn't necessarily eliminate the tax liability. So, but overall, that's kind of a good positive sign. It's still, like I say, still too early to tell, but and no doubt some of the federal stimulus early on and the $600 unemployment for some people benefits have helped. One thing we are seeing in trends, the compensating use tax, which is out-of-state sales, has increased dramatically, and I think just basically people are, which is kind of a no-brainer, staying at home and shopping online. A lot of delivery trucks bringing stuff to the house now, and but that, while that's good somewhat for the economy, it's not good for local merchants that kind of depend on that local shopping.
Absolutely, and I do know what you're talking about, the July pushing back the tax tax filing back to July, because I definitely took advantage of every extra day I had for that, so where I was able to kind of budget myself a little bit better on that before I had to pay out. So another thing that you wanted to talk about was of course the census. You said it's either been pushed back or moved up a little bit.
Yeah, it's actually the original deadline for the 2020 census was October 31, and now that's been pushed up to September 30 when we have to have that completed. And residents can still self-report on my2020census.gov and or kansascounts.org. A lot of places you can get online, do that online, do some telephone in, but the reality is people just need to understand how important that census reporting is. A lot of people just kind of shrug it off. For example, if 1% of the Kansas population is uncounted, that could result in approximately $603 million and $999,400 in federal funding, which is distributed back out. That would be over a 10-year period, of course, but a ton of money could be lost to local communities, support areas. A lot of people just don't realize. And what's happening is, actually, overall, the state is ranking fairly good nationally on reporting, but many of the rural counties are near 50% of self-reporting. For example, in my district, Montgomery's 59.6% reporting rate. Chautauqua is 47.8%, and Cali 64%. Butler's a little higher. I have a portion of Butler, 72.4%, and Elk is 49.5%. So really want to encourage people to get that census taken care of. It means a ton of federal money coming back to our state and certainly local communities. So a lot of people out there are helping to make that happen. So if there's some uncertainties, can't get online, make some telephone calls. People help you walk through it. With the COVID pandemic, we've lost a lot of the door-to-door people that normally would participate in that. So very important issue.
Very true. I mean, some people think, oh, I'm just one person, it doesn't make a difference. No, if you get a lot of people thinking like that, it's a big snowball effect. And again, it doesn't take that long to do online. It took me less than 10 minutes to do it online. So basically, you could take a break from your workday and finish it during your break.
Right. Yeah. Same experience. Very simple and didn't take very long. 10, 15 minutes usually, and you're done. And it's important to get it counted.
Very true. So we can get that money here back to the state to help fund lots of different things, infrastructure, and just a variety of things. Also, you were wanting to talk about the unemployment rate here in the state.
Well, I've had a lot of complaints about people not able to get their unemployment checks and phone calls that go unanswered or just can't get through. The governor's done a fairly big shakeup. The previous director resigned of Kansas Department of Labor, and we have an acting director, but there's been a lot of shakeup there. Obviously, we're dealing with somewhat of an antiquated computer system that will need to be addressed next session. But basically, still people are out there complaining about the unemployment checks and can't get them. And it seems like particularly people that were self-employed that had the 1099. And, of course, there's been some changes. Recently, the State Finance Council voted to reduce the Kansas unemployment down from the $400 a week down to $300, which was a little bit of political issues in there. The House and leadership felt like that we needed to protect some of that fund. The governor wanted an extra $100 a week at $400. And so kind of a little bit of fight, but yet our state unemployment fund is kind of dependent upon people working for employers to have to fund that. So there was some concern that for the sustainability of the long-term impact of that fund. So as it stands right now, unless something changes, the new unemployment will be at $300 a week. So hopefully we can get some things resolved in. There's been a lot of work to try to get, staff in positions and even some contract work bringing in. Because we just, the state's just been overwhelmed with this pandemic. And so that is a big issue. Probably centers around most of my constituent complaints and concerns of telephone calls and emails I received.
Now that you're saying 300, is that in addition to the regular what somebody would get regularly for their unemployment, or is that going to be a flat 300 rate?
That's going to be, as I understand it, a flat 300 rate. So they're going to drop some of the federals, and the complaint, and I've heard this from a lot of businesses, when we had the $600 you know, at that rate, that, hey, there people were making more staying at home than they were previously working. So consequently, you know, employers were having a real difficult time getting people back, and I kind of understand that. But so that there's kind of compromise there. So as I understand it, it'll be at that, you know, $300.
Okay, so yeah, I do remember that when it first happened, because they said a lot, like you said, employers were trying to hire people or bring them back, and you know, you had some people making $600, which they were making more than they were working, which was kind of disheartening to see. But it's still though, hopefully we can get people back to work. In fact, I just got an alert that for the U.S. added another 1.4 million jobs in August, so that's always a good sign. Hopefully the economy is turning back up after this pandemic. And another thing I would like to ask you, it's that, you know, we still got 2 months to go, but it is very important to get out during this election cycle, to get out and vote.
Yes, it is. We've seen, you know, Senate race here locally in Montgomery and Neosho and Labette, 18 votes. So that race was decided by, you know, challenger Virgil Peck over incumbent Dan Goddard. And so it is important. I mean, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of people think, well, like you say, one vote doesn't count. We've had several elections across the state that have been 4 or 5. One initially up in the Kansas City area was one vote. And when they done the recount and canvassing, it ended up at 5. But still, it is very important. The election season will be here, you know, November 3rd. It's coming up real quick, and people do need to get out, because this is going to be a critical election. And you know, I know people are concerned about COVID issues. We're having shortage of poll workers, election workers. Most of the people that work elections are retired and are in that what's considered vulnerable population to COVID issues. So we're having some natural reluctance of poll workers. We're also needing, like I say, election workers. But the important thing is for us to get in and vote, out and vote, and make sure, you know, our vote does count.
Absolutely. Like you said, that one, the one here in Montgomery and Labette and Neosho, Virgil Peck won by 18 votes, so that just very, very close. And like you said, the one up, I do believe, was the Kansas City area, was one vote, and then after re-canvass was 5 votes. But again, that just shows that every vote matters. So it's very, very important to get your voice out there and let it hurt. And like my parents always told me, it's like, if you don't vote, you can't argue, you can't complain about the outcome. But if you do vote, you and your guy doesn't win, you can complain all you want at that point, because at least you had a voice in that vote.
I heard that from my parents, too, so that must be a standard speech for young men and women coming up to voting age.
Yeah, that's true. When I first got to my first time to vote, my parents, they looked at me and said, okay, you can vote now, but if you don't vote, I don't want to hear you complain. I was like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on today. I hope you have a fantastic Labor Day weekend, the 3-day weekend coming up. And I hope you're able to relax and just kind of take it easy for the this 3-day weekend and for everybody else out there listening.
Well, I will. I got a parade in Cedarvale on Monday and going to the rodeo over there. Also, Dr. Roger Marshall, who's a candidate for Pat Roberts' seat, is coming. I guess he's going to be on KGJF Radio at 10:30.
Yes, sir, he is.
And then he'll be at the Senior Citizen at Center in Coffeyville at 11, and then to travel to Anna Mays and Independence at 1 o'clock. So, again, the importance of good voting, but it's also important to know the stance of the people you vote for. Be an informed voter. And that's very important to be able to ask those people questions. We're fortunate he's coming to our county, so people need to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. And like you said, yeah, he's going to be here on Mighty 690 KGGF at 10:30 today, and we have lots of questions for him, and we look forward to talking to him. And we always look forward to talking to you, Representative Blex, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Hey, Kyle, have a great day. May God bless us all. But thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And you have a great day as well. All right. Bye-bye. That is Representative Doug Blex here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We always enjoy talking to him, and we will talk to him again same time next month, the first Friday of the month. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have Fox News for you, and then, of course, a little bit after 8 o'clock, around 8:15 or so, we'll have Gary and Charles Skank from Skank Insurance of Independence here in studio. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this finally Friday.